If you will, to Joshua chapter 4. Once again, we have an entire chapter to look at. We'll read verses 1 through 9 right now, and then we'll look at the entire chapter. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. This is God's word. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this word. Indeed, we thank you for all of your word. But as we look at this chapter this morning, we give thanks that you tell us that we are to remember your goodness, remember your great and wondrous deeds and what you have done for us. We pray that you teach us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's been a while since I've had the opportunity to travel to Budapest with Sandra. She still manages to get there twice a year. And for 10 years in a row, we went and spoke at a conference there. And when I was able to travel with her, there were two places I always liked to go. The Vatsiutsa, which is a walking street right near the Danube River. Beautiful place, and as you walk down there, well, we used to be able to get a good bowl of goulash, but that particular restaurant's gone now. But the other place I would always like to go to is a place called the Sobor Park, which means statue park. It's a small resting place for statues from the Soviet era of Hungary. The statues were torn down and removed from their places of prominence, and they were put out in this park on a cold, windy hill way out at the corner of the city to serve as stark reminders not only of the domination of the Soviets, but the domination of a number of other empires that had come before the Soviets through Hungary. A large statue of Vladimir Ilyich Lenin towers over the entrance to this park, just as Lenin loomed large over the lives of so many in the extensive empire of the Soviet Union. It's good to remember. It's good to remember even the bad things and the evil deeds of the past. In this case, the case of the Sobor Park, it's also good that it's out on that cold, windy corner of the city. which every time I've ever been there has been muddy. It's good that it's out there and not in people's faces. Well, memorials and remembering are indeed the theme of the passages that we have before us this morning. And what we see here is that we should remember, children of God, that He is the mighty one who rescued Israel. He carried them across the Jordan. And He is still in the rescuing business. Now, there'll be a number of passages that we'll look at this morning, and some of them are listed on the back of your bulletin on that outline. But let's take a look first at the general idea of memorials. There are many memorials, both physical and spiritual, in Scripture. In fact, the word remember is found around 370 times in Scripture. And we're taught through a lot of these verses that we are to remember the bad and we are to remember the good. Let's look at the bad first. Calls to remember things that were not positive. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, and verse 22, Deuteronomy 24, 22, we read this. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. One chapter more, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, we are advised, remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. Remember the bad things that happened to you. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7 says, remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. And the Apostle Paul instructs us in Ephesians 2:12 that we are to remember that we were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Remember these things which were bad, which were evil, which were eternal. Because we can also then remember and more appreciate the good. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, we're told that we should remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And I sincerely hope that anybody who is listening to this on tape is also hearing that you weren't here, or you may not have been in your own church services today. God rescued Egypt, and He said, observe the Sabbath day. In Ezekiel 16, 60, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 60, God says, yet I will remember the covenant I made with you in the days of your youth. And I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. I will remember the covenant that I made with you. And by saying He's going to establish an everlasting covenant, He's saying, and I'm renewing that now, and it's forever. It's for you and the generations after you to come. God is a covenant-keeping God. Remember that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, simply, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Remember Jesus Christ, remember His work on the cross, remember His resurrection, and remember His line, His lineage, and those who were in it. Two chapters ago, we looked at Rahab, who ended up being in that lineage. And then Hebrews 8, 10, and 11, and 12. Starting in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Remember, God's word is full of memorials. Memorials to the evil that man has done to evil, and memorials to the good that God has done for man. But what about this particular memorial? What about the memorial of Joshua chapter 4? In verse 4 we read, So Joshua called together the 12 men he appointed from the Israelites, from one from each tribe. And he said, Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. We know that God wants us to remember both the good and the bad. He wants us to reflect on what He has done, the wonders of His power and majesty. But then again, we still need to know, well, what about this one? What do we know about this specific memorial? First of all, we might ask, what did it look like? In verse 5, it says that each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. In verse 8, it says, So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. You might notice, by the way, before I get to the look of the memorial, that phrase, as the Lord had told Joshua. Does that sound familiar from our reading this morning? In Exodus chapter 40, Moses did as the Lord commanded, and the people did as the Lord commanded Moses, and now they did as the Lord had commanded Joshua. The mantle had been passed. Joshua was God's man. As I come to church each day, if I come on the Milton Mills Road, I pass a yard which has in it a stone memorial. It's set up on the lawn just off the road. I've often wondered what it signifies, if anything. It may just be that people like piling rock upon rock. I don't know. It's about a dozen stones. It's relatively small, rising up in a column, tapering at the top. The whole thing is, I don't know, somewhere between 4 and 5 feet tall, I would imagine. So I asked myself, well, is that what the stone memorial at Gilgal looked like? Well, it wouldn't have been that small. There's been a lot of speculation as to what sort of memorial was set up. Was it circular? Was it kind of like Stonehenge arranged around in a circle? Was it a column? Were they all the same size? I don't know. But there are some facts that we do know. First, there were 12 large stones. We know that. They had to be hauled out of the river on men's shoulders. That's usually where you put heavy stuff, because you don't carry it by your arms. You use your arms, your shoulder, your back to carry this load. So they were probably very large stones. Secondly, we know that they were brought to the place where Israel was camping, their first location in the Promised Land, west of the Jordan, in a place called Gilgal. That still leaves us with another question, at least one more question. How many were there? How many memorials were there? Verse 9 says this: Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan, at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day, meaning to the day at which this was written. But all translations don't read quite that way. In the ESV, for instance, it reads, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day." You see the difference? The ESV reading says they set up a memorial in the midst of the Jordan. The New International Version says they set up a memorial with the stones from the Jordan. There's a difference in translation here. My own view is that the NIV translation in this instance got it right, that there was one memorial. Why is that? Well, there are a number of reasons, but verse 20 would be inconsistent with the two memorial view. Let me read that to you. "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan." Two reasons there to go with a one memorial view. One, it was at Gilgal, not in the Jordan. And number two, it says that they were out of the Jordan. That the stones that they had taken out of the Jordan, not taken out, brought back, or set up in the Jordan. So, it's not the most important thing in the world. But I believe that there was one memorial there. And also, it could be better seen in Gilgal than in the river. Now, is this a big problem theologically? No, it's not. It's a matter of interpretation of the Hebrew text. And this is one of those places where the Hebrew text is not exactly clear to us. Does it change anything if there was one, or if there was two, there were two? No, it doesn't. Because they both, or either one, give the same message. They have the same meaning. And in each case, whether it was one memorial or two memorials, it was the result of Joshua and Israel's obedience. Now, I said that if there were one or two, they'd have the same meaning. So now we need to take a look at that, don't we? What was the meaning? Or, as I put it on the outline, memorializing what? What's this all about? What's the point? Imagine this scene. Israel is in enemy territory, having just crossed the river. An arduous crossing, even though the river was walled up. piled up high, and they crossed it, some 2 million of them. May have been as much as a mile wide. It's still a tough crossing. Getting the animals across, getting the children across, anybody who was feeble, getting them across. And the Canaanites knew they were there. In enemy territory, not set up yet. They don't have a camp. I don't know if they've got border guards out. The Canaanites know they're there. They're about to embark on this great journey of conquest. Many of them are shaking in their boots, their knees knocking. And Joshua, under instruction from the Lord, says, "Hold on. We have to build a memorial." What was so important about this memorial that they had to stop everything, send 12 guys out into the middle of the river, probably the 12 biggest, strongest guys, bring up these big stones and set up a monument, which wasn't going to be easy. You know, you've got the wives over there saying, "No, can you go 6 inches to the left? No, that's quite right. Not quite right. Can you line that up a little bit?" That must have been quite a scene. Millions of Jews milling around. 12 guys setting up a memorial under the instruction of Joshua. And the Canaanites right over there at Jericho, looking over the wall to see if they could see them. Why? What was so important? Well, what was so important was that future generations should ask about it. Verse 21. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground.'" The idea of the memorial is to make people ask, "What's this about?" This is not the only time that God commanded such a thing to happen. In Exodus chapter 12, we read this. Exodus 12, verses 25 to 28. This is after the Passover. "When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshipped." Celebrate the Passover because it's a remembrance of God's rescue of his people. And when the children ask, "Why do we observe this ceremony?" that's what you tell them. And when the children ask about those 12 rocks set up in Gilgal, you tell them, "Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. God once again rescued his people." The Passover itself, now replaced by the Lord's Supper, was a memorial to God's saving grace and his power. He rescued the children of Israel then, as he does today. But when they ask, you should have an answer. Picking up again at verse 4, we read this. Verses 4 to 7 in Joshua 4. "So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you what do these stones mean, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And then picking up again at verse 20. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. The reason for this memorial was important enough for it to be repeated in this chapter. It's in there twice. The memorial set up so that the children would ask, and you should have an answer. God dried up the Red Sea. God stopped the flow of the Jordan. God rescued his people, and he kept his promises to them. Again, in verse 24, he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Just as Rahab knew, understood, comprehended the power and majesty of the Lord, God wants all people to know. The memorial and the answer to the question it evokes are to ensure our awe and wonder at his greatness. Is the memorial still there? Well, frankly, we don't even know for sure where the Gilgal of Joshua is. So I don't know. So did we lose the memorial? No, it's still here. In fact, it's still here. Right here. In 1 Peter, I want to look at a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You, friends, we are the memorial. We are to do good deeds, which only come after regeneration and faith. We are to do good deeds so that they may be seen, so that they may recognize that these good deeds are coming from people of the Lord, and so that they may glorify God. That's what the memorial's for. And then in the next chapter, in chapter 3, in verse 15, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give that answer. When they ask, Father, why do we do this? The word is lost to me. This ceremony, there we go. Father, why do we do this ceremony? We need to answer. We need to have an answer. When our good deeds cause people to say to us, what's wrong with you? You don't cheat. You don't lie. You don't steal. What's wrong with you? We have an answer for the hope that is within us. We live such good lives among the pagans that on the day that he comes, they are glorifying him. We are the memorial. We are the miracles. Sinners saved by grace. But we're not out in some windy corner of the city. We're right smack dab in the middle of society, where we can be seen and where we can be witnesses, where we can be memorials that people remember the goodness of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the memorial which is your word, and the memorial which is also your revelation, your creation, so that man is without excuse. And we give thanks for being able to see. We pray if there are any in our congregation this day whose eyes are not opened, whose spiritual eyes cannot see, that you would open them. We pray again for those loved ones who are unsaved and ask that your Holy Spirit move them. And we pray that you would teach us how to use your word. In Jesus' name, amen.